says in Isaiah 1, verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet," in other words, they're as red as scarlet, crimson, "they shall become like wool." We know that this is accomplished through Jesus and through His blood shed for us on the cross. And I declare to you on the authority of God's Word and on the Gospel that for all of you who look to Jesus for salvation and forgiveness, your sins have been washed in Him and you are forgiven and made right and whole through Jesus and in Him alone. This, brothers and sisters, is the Gospel. Let's stand as His forgiven people and continue to worship Him. We'll sing hymn number 467 in the Trinity hymnal, "Wonderful Grace of Jesus." Let's stand together and continue to worship the Lord. As we confess our faith together, our confession of faith this morning is found in your bulletin. It's from the Westminster Confession, chapter 32, sections 2 and 3. Christian, for what purpose has God appointed the last day? The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of His mercy and the eternal salvation of the elect, and of His justice and the damnation of the reprobate who are wicked and disobedient, For then shall the righteous go into everlasting life and receive that fullness of joy and refreshing, which shall come from the presence of the Lord. But the wicked who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be cast into eternal torments and be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Why is this day then unknown to all mankind? As Christ would have us to be certainly persuaded that there shall be a day of judgment, both to deter all men from sin and from the greater consolation of the godly in their adversity, so will He have that day unknown to men, that they may shake off all carnal security and be prepared to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Today's reading from God's Word is from Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. I think a little background is in order. Ezekiel was a prophet in the time of exile. The nation of Israel had been exiled by Babylonia, that powerful nation. Now I want you to think with me about that situation of the people. Many of the families were separated. Not all of them were in Babylon, but many stayed home, but many were separated, torn away, miles away, a far distant land. No cell phones, no texting, no internet, no mail service. This was a time of desperation. So we will see here in Ezekiel 47, the first 12 verses, a word from the Lord of encouragement about the new heavens and earth to come. Now I invite you to close your eyes as I read this. It's a visual passage. It's a passage of vision given to Ezekiel by God about things to come. So now, vision. Visualize what the Lord is putting before us and hear the word of God. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south out of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. It was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw the bank of the river, very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh." So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from Engedi to Engaleam. It will be a peace for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But in its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. What a beautiful vision. Now let's go to the Lord before His throne to pray for this congregation and our community. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Your greatness is unsearchable. You are majesty, our God of splendor and light. For Your glory and for the love of us, You spoke and the heavens and earth came into being. Light came to be contrast with darkness. You set the stars in place to show the light against dark and to show the immeasurable expanse of Your creation. You established the earth and set boundaries for the seas, raised up mountains. You created every creature of the seas and fields, thousands of life forms, all to show Your glory in life. And the greatest, You breathed life into us, the crown of Your creation, out of love. And You are a God of recreation. From You flows life refreshed, new. From the temple, Christ Jesus, flows new life from death. A mighty Savior, light against dark. The One who came down to us in humbleness, walked with us, died for us, was raised to new life for us, and now reigns over all in great splendor. We rejoice in our Savior, our King. Lord, it is such comfort against the fears of this world to know that we are Yours, that we belong to the King of Kings, who has been given all authority over heaven and earth. You, Lord, are our rock, our refuge, and our Redeemer. Lord, we look forward to the day of Your return to the new heavens and earth, to be always fully in Your presence where You will be in our light. You will be our light. Until then, we ask that You, by Your Spirit, would build us up in the knowledge of Christ. Keep us in Your word, that we may not turn from the right or the left, that we may know the direction You would have us go as a church, as a family, and be prosperous for Your glory, claiming You to a troubled world. Guard us, Lord, from the evil one, and strengthen us through the joy in You in a land of darkness. In building our knowledge of You, deepen our love for each other in matters of both small and great. Would You direct us away from a spirit of fear and guide us to a spirit of power, love, and self-control as we take Your gospel, Your good news of salvation in Christ to our neighbors in this community, to our schools, our university, our governments. Father, we ask for Your blessings and encouragement to those in this family and extended family that are hurting, afflicted, and dealing with hardships. Lord, we ask that You would work in their lives, even though they walk through waters, that they would know Your presence. They would not be overwhelmed. And they would reveal Your glory through their trials. Lord, we lift up to you, Jolene. Continue to pray for her and her family as they miss Dave. Hold them up. Bring joy into their hearts of knowing of eternal life. We continue to pray for Jolene's daughter, Emily, struggling with cancer, Father, and obstacles in the medical administration. Lord, we pray you'd make the way straight. Make the way clear and straight for Emily to get the healing touch of you through doctors and technicians and technology. And most of all, lift her heart to come into the knowledge of you, Christ Jesus. Thank you that Roger is with us after successful surgery. We pray for your continued strength upon him, building him up that he might serve you in ministry. We thank you for Christina and her strength as well through this. We continue to lift up Wayne and Rosemary's daughter, Renee, recovering from surgery. Lord, would you bring her strength and peace? Thank you that she's able to serve and help out Rosemary and Wayne. We continue to pray for our others in this family who are struggling with difficult physical situations. We think of Christine Rayborn, Nathan's grandfather, Janice's son, John, Velma. Thank you that she's here. Sharon, with pain continued, but encouraged by recent progress against that. And Julie and her long battle against arthritis. Again, Lord, we pray for strength of these and keep their minds set on that day of your return when there will be no more pain and no more tears. Father, we pray for the worship committee. Thank you for your leading. Pray that we would know your guidance to help this family deepen our worship, to deepen our prayer life, to sing to you with a new song in not only our voices but our hearts. To be one, to be united in awe of you. Deepen our prayer life, Lord, individually, daily, in our covenant groups, and in our corporate meeting every month. Lord, lead us into prayer that would be for your will, not ours. Heavenly Father, we pray for the school year about to begin. We pray for our students, college, high school, grade school, middle school, all those, Father. We pray your protective shield upon these children as they face the trials and difficulties of a world that doesn't know you in many ways. We pray that you would guard their hearts and turn them to you. And we pray, Father, that they would have opportunity in their walk, in their school, to witness to you, to claim the hope and the joy of you to those that don't know you. Lord, we remember how you told your people to go into the world to make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because you have been given all authority, and that is your command. So we would ask that you, Holy Spirit, would keep before us the conviction that the God of all creation, to whom everything belongs, is with us always. And keep us in the joy of looking forward to the day of our Lord's return, when in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet, we will be face to face with glory. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our rock, refuge, and redeemer, to you be the glory in all creation and in the new heavens and earth to come. Amen. In Christ's name. Now. Next on the agenda, memory work. Memory work from God's Word. It is in your bulletin. Would you repeat with me? 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians. You got it. Wonderful words. Thank you, Lord. Now we have an opportunity to praise God, to rejoice in Him through our giving of tithes and offerings. If the ushers would come forward, please. Heavenly Father, you are a God of blessing. You bless us with provisions. You bless us with this gathering to come with brothers and sisters who know you. You bless us with the song to sing to you. But most of all, you bless us in the Savior of Christ Jesus, who is with us. Father, we pray that you would guide us in using these gifts that we return to you to advance the kingdom of Christ Jesus, this amazing, great Savior. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen.
Continue to sing and worship our hymn of preparation. It's the insert in your bulletin. Let us love and sing and wonder. One other thing I did forget to announce, and Andre mentioned it to me before the service, the 3rd through 8th grade Sunday school classes are resuming today, and that'll meet on the back wing here of our education center, 3rd through 8th grade, as well as the inquirer's class will be meeting in the triple room. Okay, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, here we are in the last chapter of Revelation, chapter 22. And as we come to this last chapter in the Bible, in this incredible book, what we see here are overtures to the very beginning. in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. But here it's no longer the presence of God and His glory with man in the Garden of Eden, but the full radiance of the glory of God and of the Lamb with all of His redeemed in the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. As we walk through this chapter, we'll see here, particularly in this text, references and images of the river of life. It was a river that flowed in Eden. And a tree of life. There was a tree of life there in the Garden of Eden. And after we sinned and fell in our sin, our first parents were banned from the tree of life. They were cut off from it, lest they and we with them eat of that tree and live forever in a sinful state. Now this tree has been brought near and we eat of it. John will see that its leaves were for the healing of the nations. And here in this last chapter of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, I believe that God has designed it so as to heighten our anticipation and expectation as to our destiny, where we are headed through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His eternal glory and heavenly bliss. So follow with me here in Revelation 22. This morning we're looking at verses 1 to 5. This is God's holy word. John writes, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more, for they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God will stand forever." Let's go to Him again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this incredible vision that by Your grace and through the redemption purchased for us in Jesus, we who are Your people are headed towards. This is our destiny. Encourage us in these moments. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation and thoughts of all of our hearts would be pleasing and honoring to You. O Lord, You alone are our strength and our rock and our Redeemer and Your Son Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. When you think about your favorite piece of literature, a beautiful song, a wonderful poem, that book that just captures your imagination, it's always what lies at the end, the climax of the song, the climax of the poem, or the story that makes it so great. Everything comes together as the story is told, and it leaves the audience or the recipient with the sense of awe and wonder. You just don't want to go. You don't want to leave. You just want to be there and bask in the glory of the work of art. I believe there are moments in each of our lives where we experience this kind of joy and bliss. And the truth is, when we find ourselves in these situations, we want to hit the pause button. That's what Angie and I said to ourselves when we left vacation. Can't we just stay here? Moments like our wedding day, or maybe the birth of a child, or it could be a great achievement. We'd like to stay there and bask in that glory. This is what we find here in the last chapter of the Bible, in the last chapter of this great book, Revelation chapter 22. We discover God in all of His radiant glory amongst all of His redeemed people from all time and all history, amongst all the nations. We, the people of God, standing in His presence, beholding His face, in His radiant glory, And it never ends. Never goes away. Just pure, unadulterated love, joy, and peace, standing in the presence of God, beholding His face, worshiping Him in everlasting glory. That's what we see here in this passage, our destiny. This heavenly city, we see it's marked, as we've seen from the previous chapter in 21, marked by streets of gold and this river of life flowing to our souls. The tree of life also, whereby its fruit and its leaves exist to be consumed for the healing of the nations. The everlasting healing of our bodies and our minds in the new Jerusalem. The glory of God and of the Lamb radiating from His presence and His throne, whereby we serve Him and worship Him forever and ever. No one says, when is the service done? When is it over? It goes on. And there's no need, as we see, for the sun or the moon or the stars to shine their light anymore, because in the new heavens and in the new earth, God Himself is our source of life and light in His eternal bliss. So let's turn our attention to see here what John saw. First of all, concerning the river of life. Verse 1, John writes, "The angel showed me the river of the water of life." He says it was bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And there are references and images, biblical references and images of things that we've seen in the past. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where there was a river that flowed out of Eden, and it watered the entire garden, and it brought life to the garden, to God's perfect world, not yet stained by the corruption of sin. There was a river there, and it functioned to provide life. Rick read earlier from Ezekiel chapter 47 in this vision of the heavenly temple and a river flowing out of the east of the temple, causing all living creatures to drink of it and live forever. This is a vision of this heavenly temple in the new Jerusalem from Ezekiel. And the message is clear. What flows out of the sovereign reign of God through this river of life to His people is the source of life. The refreshing waters of God's very presence always with His people. The waters are described here as bright as crystal, and it depicts for us a picture of the purity of God and the holiness of God, the glory of God. Think about Jesus. Think about some of the things that Jesus promised in the gospel. You remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well, sinful woman, adulterous woman. He promised her that He had water to give to her, that if she would come and drink, would well up in her and become the spring of everlasting life. And then in John chapter 7, John goes on and it helps us understand what Jesus meant by this. Jesus said there in John 7, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, out of his heart will flow living water." And John tells us that Jesus was talking there about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who was to come and indwell the people of God, those who would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I right now have access to these living waters. The presence of God, the pouring out and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't experience it in fullness like we will in that day, but we have access. We have access in the gospel. We have access through our faith in Christ and what the Holy Spirit has done to make us alive with Christ. We have access to these waters of life. He is the one, after all, who has made us alive with Christ. He has brought us from spiritual death unto spiritual life. He is the means by which we behold the glory of Jesus in His worship. In a service of worship like this, the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints this worship and who blesses us with His presence, so that with our spiritual eyes we see and behold and we drink from the fountain of life and our souls are refreshed. He's the means by which we behold Jesus' glory in His Word. And we long for more of Christ in His Word, to know Him in His Word. He, the Holy Spirit, is the means by which we walk by faith in Christ. And the Apostle Paul promises in Galatians 5 that we will not then gratify the desires of our flesh. If you're struggling with fleshly desires, sinful addictions in your life today, the answer is the Holy Spirit. The answer is walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of your flesh. This is God's promise to us. And it is as we walk by the Spirit and drink from the fountain of living waters, the application for every Christian, I believe, in this text is a call to know the joys of heaven. It's a call to purity. It's a call to holiness. It's a call to sanctity. It's a call to sanctification, to live a life of godly fear and godly joy and godly love as we look forward in faith to our destiny, to what is surely to come in the new heavens and new earth. And that is my prayer for us, that we would be a church known not only by our Heavenly Father who cherishes His Word, but known by God as a people who knows what it is to walk by the Spirit, to drink from His fountain, to live in the fullness of His power, to be a people and a church that radiates the glory of Christ, that radiates the light of Christ and the love of Christ, the goodness of Christ, the peace of Jesus. Jesus promised us in the Gospel of John chapter 10, didn't He? He said, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." I pray that we would be a church that knows how to walk and also to lead others into the reality of Jesus' promise of abundant life, the fullness to experience it in the power of the Holy Spirit as we drink from the fountains and the waters of life. And then as we look back to this passage, we see that not only is there the river of life, but secondly also a tree of life. Verse 2. John saw on either side of the river the tree of life, and it had 12 kinds of fruit, and it yielded its fruit each month. Now we know from Revelation that this picture of the river and tree is imagery, it's metaphor. Doesn't mean it's meaningless, it's depicting a reality. John is seeing a tree on both sides of the river, and I don't think it's necessary to get bogged down as to whether this is one tree or actually a grove of trees on both sides of the river. That's what actually most commentators believe. This is a grove of trees on either side of the river. And what's highlighted here for us is the function of the tree, the purpose of the tree. The function of the tree is for the people of God to eat and to be healed, to eat of its fruit and to live forever. So I got news for you. If you're a doctor, or if you're a nurse, or if you work in the medical community, you won't have that as your occupation in the new heavens and new earth, because there'll be no longer a need for you. There's the tree of life. You'll get a new occupation, a new job. I don't know what it is, but it won't be that. The tree of life is there for the healing of all God's people, our bodies. James Hamilton says this: "All the blessings of salvation, all the sure mercies purchased by Christ's death, and all the sacred joys resident in the person of Jesus are made accessible to the people of God as God's free gift." In Ezekiel's vision, he saw trees there afforded to the people of God for food. And here in this chapter, in Revelation 22, it's always there for the people of God to take and to eat and to live forever. Richard Phillips says, "Here is regained the paradise mankind lost through sin, not only at the personal level, but also a corporate level. And only through the death of Christ for healing and forgiveness does mankind find its cherished utopia. In the eternal city, the work of Christ is ever present in all its blessed effects." John tells us here in this city, in the New Jerusalem, that there is no longer anything accursed. Think for a moment about the poisonous leaves of poison ivy or poison oak. Any of you gotten that lately? When you get it, and if you rub up against it, it's an irritable rash. And if you scratch it, it's oily and it spreads. No more anything like poison ivy in the new heavens and new earth. God was serious when he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you." Every kind of disease and disaster, natural disaster, flows from that. But here in the new heavens and new earth, no longer is the ground cursed. No more hurricanes, no more earthquakes, no more tornadoes, no more anything of creation to fear. Only the purified people of God, perfected people of God in the perfect new world, new heavens and new earth. No more sorrows, no more strife, no more conflict with God or man. Only everlasting bliss and joy in the presence of God. And I think it's incumbent upon us as we ponder the tree of life to think about Jesus' cross for moments. The means by which we have access to the tree of life. The Apostle Paul captures the essence of Jesus' cross for us, where he says in Galatians chapter 5, some of the most precious words in the scriptures for us, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the one through whom the Father spoke and all things came into existence. When we sinned and rebelled against God, he entered this world. He took on our flesh. He fulfilled the law and all of its demands. And he subjected himself to the awful curse of God, to the wrath of God. He hung in his body on the tree for us. The prophet Isaiah captures it in Isaiah 53. He says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, he says, we are healed. Brothers and sisters, that is the gospel. Nothing nothing less. It is your only hope in life and in death. You see, because apart from the reality of this gospel, you and I would all perish under the weight of the wrath of God and the curse of sin, the curse of the law. But God showed his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his blood on Calvary's tree. That tree that was death for him became a tree of life for us. All who would look to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him through faith and repentance, his death became our death, and his life becomes our life. And his tree is the means by which we are able, verse 4, to do what? To see God's face, to know the reality of his name covering us, stamped on our heads, and therefore to worship God and to serve him forever in his glorious presence. The treia is the word in the Greek. It means to serve God and or to worship him. Do you ever think about what it will be someday to see God's face and to not flee or hide? To know that in that day when we stand before him, having been cleansed and perfected in his righteousness, that we will see God face to face, and no more will the stain of sin, the power of sin, or the guilt of sin affect us in any way. It will be so totally removed. Moses was the one who got closest to God in his glory. Of course, apart from Jesus, Moses was the one. He was not allowed to see the face of God, because if he saw God face to face, God tells him, "You're going to die if you see me face to face. So Moses, I'm going to hide you in this rock, in this cleft. And when I pass by, you can see my backside and my glory. But you shall not see my face, for if anyone sees my face, you will die." And we know that as the story unfolds, that Jesus is this greater Moses. And Jesus died in our place as he saw and took on the wrath of God for us so that we could one day stand in his presence and not die, but live forever, free from the power and guilt and corruption of sin. That's what it will be one day, to stand in God's presence. We shall see him in his infinite wonder and worth, and it will never go away. You won't have to hit a pause button because we'll just be there in his presence forever, basking in his glory, worshiping him with joy and love and delight. And we shall be before him last of all because we will be before his sovereign throne. Third of all, it's the throne of God. Verse 3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants will worship him. So there are several things that we see here that we will not only be, but also do. We shall serve the Lord God in his presence before his throne. We shall worship him. And then in verse 5, we see that we shall reign with him forever. We will reign with the Lord. You see, this was and is the very purpose of God for his pinnacle work of creation, mankind, from the very beginning. Genesis 1, verse 26, we were created in the image of God for the glory of God, to exercise dominion in this world, which means that we were meant by God to reign and to rule. We will do that in the new heavens and new earth. We will exercise domain over the renewed heavens and earth. We will reign with Christ. We will reflect his glory perfectly. We will bear his image and serve him and worship him forever and ever and ever. Jesus promised this. If you don't believe me, Jesus promised it in Revelation chapter 3. He said there as he ended his address to the seven churches, to the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is amazing, brothers and sisters, that to we who conquer through our faith in him, we shall sit and reign with Jesus on his throne in his presence forever. Bruce Milne says this: humanity will again raise their heads and stand tall in God's presence and in his world. That's our destiny, brothers and sisters. And with all this truth before our eyes now and our souls and our hearts and our minds, here's the question. Paul asked this question in Romans 6. You know what it is. How can we go on sinning? How could we go on sinning, thinking that grace might abound? That's his question, Paul's question and statement in Romans 6, and his answer is by no means. The Apostle John in 1 John 3 tells us, beloved, we are God's children now. If you've been born again, if you come to know Jesus, you are a child of God now. And he says, what we shall be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, that's Jesus, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And what's John's solution? Therefore, everyone who has this hope in him, what? Purifies himself, just as he is pure. That's the application. Purity, holiness, walking in the light of God's grace for his glory. It's the mark of every maturing believer, every maturing Christian, an ever-increasing desire and a longing to know Christ and to be like him, to be closer to him, to be closer to him in his word, closer to him in his worship, closer to him through his fellowship, through the ministry of prayer, through the communion of saints. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. I have no desire for any of that. I'm going to warn you, your soul is in grave danger. If you have no desire for God, no desire for his worship, no desire for his word or his fellowship with his saints, you're in danger. And your need is to repent, to cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the modern hymn, Before the Throne of God. We sing it sometimes in worship. Sovereign Grace Music wrote it, and the lyrics go like this: Before the throne of God, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. You know what is there on his hands? His marks. Marks of those nails. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look, I see him there, Jesus, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. This is who Jesus is as our mediator. He loves us. He cares for us. Our names are engraven upon his hands, on his heart, and they're also upon our heads. His name is on our head, which means that Jesus gives us a mind for himself, a mind and a heart for Christ. Brothers and sisters, over the next couple of weeks, we're gonna wrap up this series in Revelation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It has brought sanctification to my own life. And I hope it has to yours as well. And it's my hope and prayer as we ponder all the works of God and what he has done in creation, what happened to us in the fall, and what he has accomplished through the redemption of Jesus and where we're heading in his eternal glory in the new heavens and new earth, that we would have a greater clarity about our destiny and a deeper longing to know more of Christ and also to make him known. And the effects are such that when we long to know more of Jesus and to make him known, the effects are such that we live, we speak, and we walk in the truth of the gospel. That is Jesus' will for you and me. To live, to speak, and to walk in the truth of his gospel, bearing fruit unto his glory, exuding his light, touching the lives of people who desperately need his gospel. That's the effect of the ministry of his grace and his peace in our lives. Most of you know that our youngest son, Michael, was born with mosaic Down syndrome, and we're learning as his parents, he just turned 2 on July 17th, we're learning that there are a number of side effects that come with Down syndrome, particularly physical side effects. One of them is that his muscular system, particularly in his lower regions, is a little slower to develop, and he's not yet walking. He's trying. He's not strong enough there in his legs. The other thing Downs people sometimes struggle with is cramping in their stomachs, abdominal pain, irritable bowels. The other night, Michael was playing on the floor, and he had a phone. He loves to play with phones, and all of a sudden, he just burst out in tears. And I thought, oh my goodness, Angie wasn't there. What in the world? He's obviously in severe pain. And I went over to him and I picked him up. And as I picked him up and hugged him, he just wrapped his arms around me and he clung to me. And I thought in those moments, he's already got my heart. He was ever more endeared to me. And I'm not letting you go, son, until this pain goes away, until the tears are gone. And in those moments, it made me think about the way that God loves you and me. You may have walked in here today and maybe you're experiencing some kind of severe emotional pain. Maybe there's news that you've received that was very difficult recently. And I want you to know this. God is here, I believe, with all my heart to wrap you in the midst of your pain with his loving arms in the embrace of his son. He loves you. And he will not let you go until every tear is wiped away. We've seen that already from chapter 21. In the day in which he makes all things new, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither will there be crying or pain or tears anymore. This is who your Father is for you. It is how he loves us in his son, Jesus. And in that day that is surely coming, we shall drink from the everlasting fountains of life and we shall feed on the tree of life. We will stand with him in his presence face to face and glory in him and live forever. No longer to sin, no longer to know any kind of pain, No more sicknesses, no more death. We will reign and rule with Him forever and ever. And surely, as we're about to sing, it is well with our soul. It can be well with our soul right now, in that day, not only with our soul, but also with our minds and our bodies. It shall be well, all of us, because of the embrace of our Father, because of the ministry of His Holy Spirit, and because of what Jesus did as He hung for us on Calvary. But He didn't remain in the grave. He's risen. He's ascended, He's seated, and He is coming again. And thus our prayer is, as we've already prayed, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word and of this gospel. I pray that You would touch each and every one of us this day with Your loving embrace. Help us to know the strength, Lord, of Your love, the wonder of Your worth, the glory of being embraced by Your loving hands, wrapped in Your arms. Father, there are some of us here today who are really struggling with sincere tears and sorrows. Would You minister to Your people as only You can do? Refresh us, Lord, with Your grace and Your presence. I pray for others, Lord, who may not know You. I pray in these very moments that You would open the eyes of their hearts and enable them to receive Your Son, that it may be well with their souls too. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing together this glorious hymn from the Trinity Hymnal. Hymn number 691, It Is Well With Our Souls. word. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord to make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and grant you peace. Amen. Go in God's grace and in his peace. Over us the whole way, brought us back. So, how are you doing? Great, yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yes, we did. it was good though. It's nice to make eight and see family. Come here, buddy. Yeah, hello, good morning. How are y'all today?
Good.
I'm Wes.